No, before the show starts, he's Billy. When the show starts, he's our guest. Special guest. Keep all of this in.
I like Billy. Do we have Billy tonight?
He's getting there. Another J-Mo and Coke, and we're going to have...
Yeah,
Billy's going to be here in full force. All right.
Full force.
Hit the button.
Get started.
All right. Bat Slant Podcast, episode 16, number 2 on the very young new year, 2019. Joining us by the magic of the internet, I think that's Jack. Wait a second.
He's here.
I'm here.
This rat bastard is back. Jack is back in studio.
What's up?
He's checking off his attendance card for the first time in 2019. We're glad to have you back. As always, I'm Asian John. On the ones and twos, there's Ice. What's going on, brother?
Greetings.
I'm still at a loss given that we're back at full force. So forgive me, but we're back. We're here. We're queer. Get used to it. You can find us on batslant.com, on social media, batslant at batslant on Instagram and Twitter, wherever fine podcasts are available: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can leave us a review wherever you find this damn thing. And as always, support us through our links on our website, Amazon.com, Target.com. The holiday season has obviously surpassed us, but we're going to continue feeding into this consumer machine. I think there are plenty of good deals to be had still. We're in the spirit of the tech season, and I think there are a couple of tech deals that Jack has found and is ready to throw at us. Say you?
Definitely, this week's items, not just one, but two.
Items, that's an S,
is plural. Is found on Target. It's the Beats Solo 3 wireless headphones. Those are the big boys, the ones that make you look like a DJ.
Oh, so, the over-ear ones.
Yeah, the over-the-ear ones.
The one that you always see, like, the football players wearing in the field, right?
That was, like, what, in, like, 2012, right?
When Beats, they're making a comeback in 2019.
True. In 2019, yeah, but you can get them for $199 at Target. It's actually
That's
retail.
$100 off.
Yeah, so it's $100 off. Retail is $299. And then the other
that math checks out.
It does. I can do math. I can do math.
You are Asian.
That's racist.
We've dispelled that theory on the show numerous times. Asians and math do not go together, at least in 2019.
Yeah, this with us for sure.
Yeah.
The other item is also another Beats item, is the Power Beats. That's the one that goes, I guess, that hooks over the ear.
Yeah, technically in ear, but they hook
in
over.
Ear. Yeah. Yes, I like those better. So those are great for working out, and it's also $199 retail, and then $100 off is going to be $99. So do the math. That checks out.
I never had Power Beats 3, but I had one of the... Actually, I think I had the first generation of Power Beats, and yeah.
And then LeBron put them on, and you're like, I'm out on
that. Yeah, you were out on that. Right? When you started working out in this garage?
Actually, I bought it after I saw him use it.
No. Closet fan review. Yeah.
Well,
we're pulling cards now.
Man, at the time when you're looking for like Bluetooth... headphones that you could work with, work out in. There wasn't that many options without getting one of the big boys.
Yeah.
So this was the first one that didn't seem so obnoxious, and the string seems pretty lightweight. So I was like, let's give it a try. Let's see what it's like. Dude, it sounds pretty good. So if you're a fan of like the beat sound, they actually somehow crammed that into that little light in-ear piece, and you just throw the little, there's like a little, string that's attached to the earpiece, you just toss it behind your head when you're working out.
For sure.
Oh man, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. And so there's some decent battery life on there too.
I think it's 12 hours. Up to
Jesus,
12
really?
Hours.
Yeah,
that's
both,
really
for
good.
Both models.
Way better than my AirPods.
Yeah. I mean, if you're using it purely for working out, I mean, each workout is just say roughly an average of an hour. So you get like, over a week of workouts
polite.
Without charging.
Yeah. AirPods dope. Suck.
Chill out. That's fighting words.
You
right
bite
there,
your
man.
Tongue, sir. I've got like two or three other examples of terrible AirPod knockoff seconds.
Well, because they're knockoffs. That's why.
Well, actually, we can go like down a rabbit hole talking about the crap that I've purchased to try to get to that AirPod level. But before we do that, I mean, I guess also in the spirit of tech, we brought in a tech expert this week because it's consumer electronics season 2019. we got our boy here.
Billy?
Is that? No, well, no. Billy was pre-show. Oh, okay. And if Billy has another drink, he might make a full-fledged appearance.
Yeah.
We for now, while we talk tech, we got our boy Pa here in studio. What's going on, brother?
Hey, welcome.
Hey, what up?
I mentioned it before. The man wears many hats. Tech.
He wears one hat.
Okay. He physically wears one hat.
He wears one gray beanie all year round.
My favorite hat.
Metaphorically speaking, the man wears plenty of hats. He's our tech expert. Latin dance to include samba, merengue,
bachata.
God forbid we forget bachata.
Isn't that a drink?
That's horchata.
That's horchata. Okay. You're in the ballpark, and plenty of other things. But welcome, man. Thanks for being on the show this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hopefully, it's not the last time. We brought you here specifically because I guess are we at the tail end of the Consumer Electronics Show?
I think there's one more day.
Is it one more day?
Yeah. Okay. Friday is there's events that goes on through the weekend, but the official today is actually the day that where people start trickling and flying out of town. Fridays, outside of like the parties in the evenings, there's not a lot
of time at the Crazy Horse 2, right?
Yeah,
Crazy Horse 3.
Sorry, right. I apologize.
Save that for later.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot, I guess it's winding down at this point.
Yeah but it just seems fitting, given that it is CES week, that we have Pa here to join us. You know, Pa, he's been a close friend of ours for
middle school.
Yeah, very, very long time.
Take your age, cut it in half. That's when Pa shines. That's how long we've known Pa. That's pretty much it.
But, I just remember, growing up, he was always into, video games. He was always, the guy was always working on something. He's always has a gadget or a tech, or he's always jailbreaking something and hacking something or building his own computer or
telling
building,
us about hentai.
He always has some weird techie random hobby on the side that he's doing, and he pulls it off, and it always, each and every time I hear about it, it gets me intrigued, and he always gets me to spend extra money every single time.
His reputation precedes him.
So it seems fitting that we bring him on, and I just love to hear for someone that's just knee deep in this stuff, how this week had an impact on you and what stood out, and we could just jump right into it. But
we can go balls deep right here. Mm-hmm. For me personally, I thought the funniest thing that I saw the entire weekend, it's just a bunch of nerd crap for people like us. But the funniest thing I saw right out the gate was the Apple troll of Google.
Yeah,
that was a big thing. This week.
So was it a big thing for nerds too, or is it just a big thing for people who have like a acute knowledge of technology? Because I'm that person. I'm the guy on the outside looking in, I feel
Nah, you're just an Apple fanboy. That's why it mattered to you.
there's okay. I stand corrected. There's Billy.
No, they were trying to be a little clever there with their little billboard.
Yeah, I thought Apple never attended CES, and they just never really bothered with CES, but this year.
They never are, but a lot of the accessories and gear that all the other companies are creating, it's geared towards a person with an iPhone, right? So to make this type of statement is it's sort of fitting for Apple, because they're going to do it on their own anyways.
Yeah, because in history... yeah, you're absolutely right. Apple usually doesn't take part in CES, just because I think a lot of that is due to Steve Jobs when he was around and running the show. He just
sounds
felt
like a dick.
he carried Apple in a certain way that he feels like Apple. You don't need to go to a conference to see what's coming up. He feels that Apple is we're the trendsetters
above that.
So what he would do is, rather than attend a conference where every other manufacturer and vendor are going to, they would host their own Macworld. Macworld would be in January. That runs simultaneously as CES around the same time. So while and a lot of the headlines you used to hear back in the days were you got all these people coming out with their best invention and stuff, and then all of a sudden Apple's across the way in Cupertino. They usually do their events in San Francisco, but then they would drop their product release and it would just like shut down and have a huge impact on CES, yeah. where people there are just like, they're way further ahead than this stuff here. So I think Steve Jobs always pride himself on those events, but you know, it's a new day now. It's a new business. It's a new Apple. So I think they're starting to understand that no longer, like they're still one of the leaders in the mobile space, but
they're not innovators
but
anymore.
They're not innovators, and I think they're starting to understand that without some leadership changes, they're going to need to adapt modify their business model, and I think they want to play nicely with some of these other big names in the industry.
So the first act is to troll Google.
Yeah.
Well, Google, like, I think they just have like a rivaled history there. Starting with the
Google's Pac, Apple's Biggie. We get it. We know how the story ends.
Google's Pac. They used to sit on the board of Apple back in the day, you know, and until when the Apple released the iPhone, the initial iPhone, Google went out and they created theirs.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big FU to Steve Jobs, because he was just like, dude, I had you on my board and I trusted you and you went off and made your own competitor. So that's why he pulled Google Maps off the phone, and that's
and then you have Apple Maps, which is atrocious.
The big debacle.
It's coming around. I don't think it's nearly anywhere close to Google Maps.
Terrible.
But it's coming around.
Well, now it's not the worst.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not the best, but
it gets
the worst.
You places now.
Precisely, and you don't die.
Is it better than MapQuest?
Is MapQuest. Didn't they buy MapQuest to get Apple
they bought something.
Well, that explains.
I think they bought like TomTom or something. Like
something
that.
To that effect. It may as well have been TomTom. Who would know?
So anyways, yeah. So I think starting off the week, I think that was one of the biggest headlines of seeing Apple's billboard.
If you haven't seen it, the billboard was actually, like, the photo I saw was actually brilliant. It was actually showing the side of one of the tram cars that go up and down the Vegas Strip, and it's plastered with like Google ads, and it actually says "Hey Google" on the side of the train, and then on this big ass building, it says "What happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone," which could not have been captured any more perfectly and any better, because I think I've said it in a couple of instances on our show, I have a genuine distrust for Google. Not that I won't use Google, but
right.
A lot of weird stuff happens when something's mentioned in conversation and ends up in my Google or my Gmail
that
like
happens
ads
all the time.
Damn time. I know it's not abnormal, but it's too convenient, and I just can't get with that. So being a guy who owns an iPhone and the AirPods and the whole rigmarole, it
you're starting to sound like me.
Yeah, well, I wasn't beaten off the Steve Jobs photo, but you know, still, I get where you're coming from. It makes perfect sense. But I mean, that was a nice opening salvo for CES, yeah. I felt like.
But even, and actually, they made a couple big headlines leading off the week.
Okay, so they didn't just troll the other companies.
I thought that was going to be it, but right into day one, you start seeing a slew of announcements of partnerships with Apple. And I'm like, holy crap, that's really unusual for Apple to partner with other competitors in their eyes. But one of the biggest ones that came out was Samsung.
What?
Yeah, Apple partnered with Samsung.
Can you believe that?
I cannot believe
again?
It. Yeah. But it's like, you know, they have all this beef, and I mean, I think that's what shocked a lot of the tech space, was like, these two are playing nice together. But yeah. So not only Apple has finally agreed upon opening up HomeKit, AirPlay 2 across all these different manufacturers like LG, Sony, Vizio.
You're going to have to explain the AirPlay 2 bit to me, because I know the original AirPlay thingamajigger, mm-hmm. where you can play stuff off your phone on
your
TV.
That's basically it.
Yeah, that's all.
So
the sequel like the Avengers Endgame? Like what's going to happen with AirPlay 2? I have to know what else is coming with that.
AirPlay 1 was
pure audio. So if you wanted to stream music to another Apple device, you would use AirPlay. You would just use AirPlay, so you could play, you know, like a awesome Little Susie track on your phone, and then and then hit.
Hey, you got any Little Susie? So is it strict? We could do that on like your Apple TV. I know you could do that. Now, the other brands?
So initially, yeah. So AirPlay was a proprietary Apple technology. So when they had AirPlay 1, it was just the ability to stream music across Apple devices. And AirPlay 2, they opened that up to working with anyone. It's an open framework that they agree upon. Sonos has adopted AirPlay 2, Sony, LG, Vizio, all these companies are going to have AirPlay 2 in their device. And the biggest upgrade to AirPlay 2 is not only can you do audio, you can do video now. Mm-hmm. So if you're sitting down on the couch and you're watching something on your phone, like a YouTube video, and you're like, oh crap, I want to hit send that on my TV, just like Chromecast, you just use AirPlay 2, beam it to your TV.
Throwing out my Chromecast.
So
right
before,
now.
Yeah, I mean, before you could only do that with Apple products, but the fact that now with all these major manufacturers, you could just beam any content, no matter if you're on an Android or Apple device, into your TV. I think that's huge just for consumers, not just like Apple users, but I think that's huge just like to have that option.
Yeah, definitely. Apple was always like, you know, it's all about their products, but now they're actually going to allow other companies to make devices that can, beam content to their stuff.
Yeah,
so your TV can start beaming, you know, YouTube videos and, your iTunes music and all that.
So I dig it. I'm reading a little bit about the Samsung partnership.
Tell me more.
It's interesting. So they've opened up iTunes available to two Samsung smart TVs.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to buy and rent and consume.
Wait, you can have iTunes on a Samsung?
Yeah, so you can get.
They're the only ones.
Yeah, so they're the only ones that Apple has allowed to have iTunes. And so you have someone who's outside of Apple's ecosystem consuming their content. So that's another revenue stream for them that's going to be available this year, because their iPhone sales have been lagging, right? So it's like
services.
It's more services now. They're more geared toward Apple Music, iTunes especially. I mean, their catalog of shows and movies, I mean, you can buy. It's huge.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no one is... Their main product was the iPhone for the last decade.
Like,
that's all everyone wanted. But now, you know, you don't really need to upgrade it to a new iPhone because the differences aren't as stark.
No.
They're not as big. So
exactly. You don't need to upgrade your iPhone.
The man has an iPhone 5
SE. It's not a 5. It's an SE.
Whatever. It's in the form factor of a 5, right?
Yes. It's great.
Could be mistaken for a 4.
Yeah, it could be. It's God.
Yeah. Two generations.
I can't
better
talk
than
to
a
him
four.
when he holds his freaking iPhone 5.
That's like as rare as seeing like a Nokia 5100.
That looks like an iPhone 4 to me.
That's what I'm saying.
It's an iPhone SE. You shitheads.
It's the last time I'm explaining it on this damn show.
It's an.
It's better than a 6. It's just below a 7, and it still has an auxiliary port.
It is not better than a 6.
I can plug my headphones in without issue.
It is not.
You dickheads.
Well, the 6 had headphone jack as well.
Correct.
Yeah, but this is better than a 6.
No, it's not.
This is more advanced than a 6, I promise you. That 6 is archaic.
No.
How about the 6S?
I think the SE just had the 6 parts in it.
Yes.
So
I think it's
basically
correct.
A 6 with an iPhone 4 screen.
Correct.
Sounds like magic to me. I don't see what the downside is. Tell me more.
Oh God!
I've mentioned
erroneous,
it before.
Erroneous.
I've updated the battery. It's good for 7 more years, boys.
Oh God!
Get used to it. Anyways, what the hell were we talking about again? So the Apple AirPlay 2 is available on a multitude of different televisions.
Yeah, but so the fact that they have a exclusive partnership with Samsung to allow iTunes to be on their TV is huge.
Yeah.
And you know, and the only other thing I just want to add to this was I don't know if you guys remember the last time we were talking about like the last Apple event in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
I felt like one of the biggest things that I was looking forward to, what I thought was possibly going to be announced was the whole Apple streaming service. Like you've been hearing all these rumors that they're, you know,
investing billions of dollars into creating their own content.
Let it
so,
die.
I think this is the clearest sign that it's probably going to happen this year because they're lining up all these.
They just stop? No, why not? They have to diversify.
Oh my god, man! I mean,
buy the Netflix.
They're setting the groundwork right now by allowing people to connect to their TVs and broadcast content. So I feel like this is going to be the year where they're going to announce the Apple streaming service where you can. Subscribe to their service and then beam that content to any TV in your household. So I just feel like it's setting that up. So I feel like that's coming.
Unless you have a Roku, evidently.
Oh, did you hear about Roku? They pretty much, their stock shit the tank, man.
Oh, just because of the Apple news?
Because they're just like, you know, they felt like they had a stronghold on the market because Apple was closed. So they felt like, you know, they're going to provide all these streaming services. But if now you... through like Google Casting, you can beam content from your Android device, and now Apple, you can beam content from your iOS device. That was Roku good for. It's like you can use.
It's still like a probably right there with Apple TV in terms of the interface and the software. Like they're probably the most user friendly that I've seen, just with like right out of the chute without having to learn like an ecosystem. Like. You can figure it out pretty intuitively.
But don't they just provide the space?
They're just
to
like
stream
the,
it. They're just like a Chromecast, right?
For the most part.
Do they have their own like service to buy and purchase?
They're thinking about.
They have a Roku channel, which I think they do aggregate some content, but it's not as well. Honestly, I think they're on equal footing with Apple because Apple doesn't have a service. Roku doesn't have a service.
But I think everyone knows that Apple. In time, they're going to have a service very soon.
They're gearing
soon.
Up, but I mean...
So Roku, this week, after with the news that they're now releasing AirPlay 2 to all these manufacturers, they're like, shit, maybe we need to consider having some other like business model because otherwise we're going to be, you know... We need a differentiator. And I think
they kind of beat Apple to the punch in that regard because they're in with Samsung, they're in with TCL.
Not anymore.
Okay, maybe not anymore, but I'm saying like they got... like they've had like... that same game plan getting with the other manufacturers for years.
I think that's the fear. I think they realized that because they knew Apple wasn't in it, that they can try to get a foothold into that space. But now that Apple is playing, oh man, I think they're probably like, ah, crap.
Sounds like weird science to me. Well, aside from the Roku TVs and wherever Apple decides to go. One of the brands, I think LG was one of the brands that they were friendly with.
Hey, what do you think AirPlay about 2? That, Pa? The whole LG, everything that LG announced this week. What do you think about that?
Oh, man, I think LG kind of blew CES out of the water, man. They showed some awesome stuff over there.
Please do explain. I think there were a couple of items that kind of stood out, but like I might have missed like some of the other stuff.
I mean, the most notable, come on, guys, the rollable TV.
Yeah.
That junk looks sick.
I know.
Does it really? Okay.
What?
Okay. Come on, man. It looks awesome.
Why is this guy always a contrarian?
When I heard rollable TV, I thought, okay, this is something I can actually unroll and like fix to a wall, whatever wall I wanted to throw it on.
But
I mean, apparently, it's like a boombox.
Yeah, it's like a sound bar, right?
Yep.
When it's rolled down, it's a sound bar, and that's in itself is awesome. Bars. But then you would just want to watch something, dude. You roll out your TV, that shit is pimp right there. Come on.
Yeah,
37 seconds to wait for that shit to roll.
Well, I mean, it's really nice. So it does look like a speaker bar. It's 4K. The only model that they have is a 65-inch.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's sufficient.
Yeah. Oh,
65. It's more than enough.
So it's more in the same. Like, there's a push now to make TVs not look like TVs. Like, you know, Samsung has those displays that have like just it looks like art, like frames, right? Or they look like a bookshelf. So this is sort of in that same vein. It looks like, I mean, alone, or you can put this on a TV stand or a credenza, whatever you want. You don't even have to use the whole TV function. You can just put a shit hat like a quarter of the way, and then you can play music from
that's
it.
Really
yeah,
dope.
Yeah, that's dope. So, yeah. I mean, you don't really have to watch TV. A lot of people, I mean, I don't have cable, but a lot of people still do have cable.
Ooh,
so.
Who's the hipster now?
But, I mean, it's really nice, man.
He's a cord cutter.
I am a cord cutter. Yeah.
Hey, I don't use cable TV.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. See?
Well, you boys are in the majority now, then.
Yeah, most people. I mean, that I know a lot of people who cut the cord. I mean, it's just I don't need a lot of the channels.
The channels.
The channels. Yeah, but I mean, just seeing this thing in action is it's slick, man. It's just so slick.
Okay, so you think it lives up to the hype of what was rolled out?
I do.
Okay, fair enough.
I do.
Well, I think just the concept alone is pretty cool.
Yeah,
it actually rolls up. Come on, guys. How does a TV roll up?
And it's a 4K display too. Yeah. How do you do that?
How heavy is that thing? Do you think? Like I'm
Oh, I mean, it'll take like three of us.
Actually, the TV itself, because I don't know if you guys have been following, but they also have a wallpaper TV.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that?
Yes.
So that's basically, I think OLED technology has allowed TVs to get insanely thin and lightweight.
Yes.
So they make a TV now that's truly paper thin that just sits flush on the wall. Mm-hmm. And I think this is basically that, but because it's so thin, it needs some sort of structure to hold it up. Yeah. So behind this portable TV that LG rolled out, it's like an X little contraption in the back.
It's like a firm backing, like a wall basically.
So I feel like the TV itself is really lightweight, but that, because it needs to be held up by something. That's probably where the weight comes in. But the TV itself is probably
looks like an easel, like on the back of it. But
that thing looks substantial.
Yeah, it does. I mean, but it's going to be pricey, obviously. But at least it's 4K. I mean, the push now, at least I heard through this CES, was that there's some 8K.
Displays. Throw your TVs out.
Yeah. But I mean, there isn't.
They're useless.
There isn't any content to display. Yeah, exactly.
Just like when 4K was initially announced, there was just like there was no 4K content.
Exactly.
So. I hope you like watching House of Cards all day because that's all you got, buddy.
Yeah, I remember it was just House of Cards and that was it.
Like, I don't think 4K is useless right now.
No, not at all.
I think 8K is gonna start rolling out probably in a few years.
Yeah,
because 4K came out like. A few years ago,
five,
and it's finally started
taking
a stand.
Yeah,
but I give it time. 8K is gonna be the future, definitely.
For sure, it's gonna go higher and higher.
CES 2030, 8K content, big rollout.
Yeah, nice. but with this, what I appreciate out of this like little roll up portable TV was. For years, people have been coming up with little crazy ass ideas. So like people want TVs in the house that doesn't feel like TVs.
Yeah.
So they're like, maybe we'll do a thing that like flips into the wall. Maybe we'll do a thing that
like a Murphy bed.
Yeah. It's kind of like what you had, like, how you have like a double sided panel above your fireplace.
Oh, yeah.
But imagine like you flipped it and then you never saw the other side. And then you just see it like a drywall, and then you flip it again and now you see a TV. So people have been trying to come up with clever ways to hide TVs. And I feel like for the first time, this is a viable solution.
Yeah.
That's because when tucked away, it's just like any other sound bar on the market.
Mm-hmm.
But the other impressing part about this is it's actually ready to go to market.
Yeah,
I actually feel like
I think it's on. Is it on sale yet?
I think they're ready for pre-orders this year.
Nice.
I'm not sure if it's actually going to be delivered this year. But
we'll sell all the podcast equipment. Yeah. We'll get one of those suckers in here. We'll put it up here. We'll just use our iPhones to record the show.
Precisely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
what. Because I think that that wallpaper TV, the OLED one, I think that retails somewhere around like the 8K neighborhood, so this has to be like 10 to 12.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
Sense. Yeah,
that's so. Being generous.
I know.
I said, Jesus.
Yeah, it could be. But
so you can get a car or a little fold-up TV.
Yeah, I'd rather get the TV. Yeah.
Just buy a Kia. You'll be fine.
Hey, that's what I did, asshole.
He's driving a television right now. Nice. Well. It kind of feels like that's the trend, like stuff that folds and rolls and crumples into your trash can, so there's no evidence. There was something else that came out that I don't think was as warmly received. I mean, I actually did see this product end up on like a best new innovation for phones list. It's called the FlexPi.
I thought you were going to say FlexPaw.
FlexPaw.
That has much more cachet.
FlexPaw.
The FlexPAI foldable phone. I think Samsung actually did something with like a foldable phone earlier this year. At least they did like a demo.
They sucked it.
Yeah.
They sucked it.
Wow.
Dry. Is that what that meant? What the hell was that?
What did they suck? I know. Well, with the we saw like something that could be a flexible phone from Samsung, but this is like the first one that is ready for purchase and available to consumers. I'll come out and say, like, the reviews were just god awful. Like the features that they laid out there sounded good on paper, where if you fold the phone in a certain fashion, it can actually serve as two separate phones, one on each side, which I don't know what the usability of that would be, but you know, if you got a burner that you want to like tuck into the other phone, by all means, you got that option. But when you make the transition from like a big seven-inch tablet to the phone, like screens get flipped, they don't orient as quickly. Like it just seemed like they just really wanted to get out in front of the flexible display market, which I mean, I don't know. Do you guys think that like if you don't have something that is ready to go as in a good product, would you really want to throw it out there in that fashion?
Yeah, I'm not sold on this folding stuff yet.
I'll tell you how much it costs later.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, there's a price?
Yeah, it's already retail.
It's available in China, but... But Pa, you were saying?
Yeah, I'm not sold on this yet, but I think it's good innovation, but they do need to, you know, make better use of it. As of right now, I don't know. The phone function looks kind of bulky and weird to me.
Shocker, it's a Droid offering, so...
Hey, nothing wrong with Android.
Oh, right. Sorry. Mea culpa, mea culpa.
It doesn't look good at all.
Yeah,
it feels... It's bent, so it's more... looks like a tablet.
It is a tablet.
Yeah, it's a tablet, right? Yeah. It doesn't look like a phone. It looks like it's like an 8-inch tablet.
Do you know what it is in the center section where it folds?
Yeah, it looks like a leather...
it looks like a leather-bound book.
It's rubber.
Rubber?
It's rubber.
Oh, geez,
it scrunches up. It looks like a scrunchie. I swear to God.
okay. A scrunchie.
It doesn't look great. But okay.
So I'll put it this way. Look, you know, I think what Samsung did last year, you know, I have no doubt that they're investing a lot of money to trying to be one of the first guys out to come out with a foldable phone. So they really want to show off to show their hand to be like, Hey, industry, we did it. We finally got a OLED screen that we can fold. We can put a mobile OS on it, and we can demo something. And they just wanted to make some sort of headlines, but they weren't close to being ready to demo anything. That thing was horrible.
Awful.
So
awful. Horrendous.
Given that, was that in like November time range? Right?
Fall.
Yeah. So, given that they rushed just to say like we were the first ones to do it, these
Samsung's
folks at the same time were working on the same things behind the scenes, and they just spent like two more months. And I feel like what they released at CES was way more impressive than Samsung. But that's where the praise stops.
Okay.
The thing sucks, man.
Didn't know where you were going with that
one. No. So I praise them for trying to make something better than
they
what
got
Samsung
to market
did.
Sooner, yeah.
And not only did... Because Samsung... You know, if you guys remember, in the Samsung press conference where they demoed that damn thing, they came on stage, they turned off all the lights, and the only thing you saw was the screen, and they just opened it and closed it, and that was it. And it was in this huge-ass enclosure, and that's just to say, we have big things coming next year, you know, stay tuned. It's like, screw off.
Wait a whole year for this big-ass phone.
These guys went to
kids.
CES with their balls hanging out and be like, hey, this is what we've done.
I still don't know where you're going with this,
man. It's not perfect, but check it out. And I've been watching a lot of these little demos of like these videos of people going around and actually using it. And
this phone, the FlexBox?
This phone. Okay. Like, you can actually like I saw the ins and outs, and they actually talked about all the flaws that the phone has. And there's a lot of flaws.
There's a lot.
It's definitely not ready for prime time, but. Because I think a lot of the flaws were the tablet is confused, the phone tablet, it's confused about what it is.
Yeah,
it doesn't know, is it a tablet first or is it a phone first? And so like when you take a picture in a certain orientation, it doesn't know like, should I be treating this as a tablet or a phone? And so is the photo tall or is it square?
Do you know how long this has been in development?
It's been for quite some time. And
6 years.
Yeah.
6 years.
Yeah, yeah.
They poured $30 million into their development.
I would say they've gotten it pretty far. Sure. It's just not far enough.
No, no.
And I think part of the things that they were saying was they've been, because they're running on the latest like Android.
Ugh.
So they were working with Google to, they're partnering with them to see like what they can do to help them refine their user experience to work on this. But it was just way, it wasn't on Google's radar to say like, we're not ready to put that investment in that time.
Right.
So the OS weren't ready. So the FlexPy crew actually had to muck with that stuff on their own. And they try to do the best job that they can.
Oh, yeah. Did they muck?
So I think a lot of it is they understand that the software needs a lot of help, and they're hoping that Google will catch up. And eventually after seeing this, they'll say, okay, we see what you've done. We're going to put some time in to help you guys out. And then hopefully while they focus on the hardware, Google is going to focus on the software.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if Google is ready to make that leap yet.
No.
I think they're intrigued. Yeah. And they're going to get a lot of praise for what they've done so far. But if $30 million for a pat on the back is good enough for you.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God. Yeah. LG is also rumored to have a model.
Yeah.
Huawei is developing a foldable phone as well, and then it's supposed to have 5G. So they've got other competitors in the space.
Wait, you
man.
Mean AT&T 5G?
Yeah.
Oh man, AT&T. Don't get started on AT&T.
So what was that all about this week?
John, this wasn't on a show sheet, but I'll wing it. AT&T. I think they mocked up some phones, and instead of just like going with their regular like branding or like what the screen typically looks like on the phones, they just superimpose over the typical LTE letters with the letters 5G, which theoretically doesn't exist because 5G is just LTE. But like it's just kind of like the first shot in the marketing wars to say, hey, we're improving our networks, yada yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
And they ate a mile of shit as a result of that. Like it was a never ending just stream of slings and arrows from every other competitor you can think of: T-Mobile, Verizon, T-Mobile. T-Mobile shit dick
no,
ass.
No, Sprint.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's what's up.
Sprint too. Are they the same company? I don't even know.
Not yet.
Not yet. But like they're like everybody like was firing shot. Like they got that smoke, and it was not a good look for AT&T. And as an AT&T customer, I know their shortcomings. This was not a good thing for them to try to get out in front of.
Well, this is not the first time they did that, remember?
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
When they started with 3G, or 4G or whatever. Yeah. They what was it? They were claiming they were on 4G, but they're really on 3G.
I know 3G that full plus. Well.
3G plus, is that what it was?
Is that what that was?
It was the HSPA
plus.
That's
what it was. God. As a person who's been throttled numerous, actually for, I've probably been throttled like once every month for like the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years.
Are you still getting throttled?
I think I've kind of backed away from the ledge. Like, the precipice was like 22 gigabytes during a cycle.
One cycle.
Yeah. I think after like the fourth or fifth time, like, actually, you know what? It changed after I got DirecTV Now.
Nice.
Because that actually enabled me to like go elsewhere with content, and they don't count that against your data. So, you know, thumbs up for DirecTV Now and AT&T, but otherwise a terrible move on their part.
Yeah, it's awful. Why do that?
Beat their chest and say that they were going to be the big forerunners for the next evolution of cellular connectivity.
Yeah, we're not even there yet. No one's there yet.
We
just
want
to flex nuts. Jesus.
Yeah. It's not going to happen either with, speaking of the flex, isn't the FCC guy named Pi also?
Something.
Agit Pi. Agit Pi.
That guy's a bag of terrible. He's the guy who was behind the whole rollback of net neutrality,
right.
And you know it's disincentivized the investment into improving networks and all that.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
we're so far away from getting to better cellular networks. It's insane. Ugh, it's just awful. Well, all that is to say, it was a big week in tech. I mean,
oh, there was one more thing that I wanted to bring up.
Just one
please.
More thing.
You know, so.
One, so, okay, Steve Jobs, tell us.
There is one more thing. So this kind of went under the radar a little bit. I'm not even sure if you guys heard about it, but Pa kind of led into this about saying like he felt that LG was one of the big winners of the week, and I totally agree. I don't know why this didn't make any more headlines, or maybe to me it didn't, but did you guys hear about the LG Homebrew?
Yeah, the beer joint. Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Nah. Isn't there already a homebrewing ecosystem already out there through I'm trying to think of it. Like Pico
the
Soda
Pro.
Stream guys. Yeah, Pico Pro. There you go.
Well, let me
know. Isn't that already out there?
I'm not sure.
I'm sure I saw it at the Bed Bath & Beyond. Like, I'm
well,
like 99%.
Do you know how it works?
No.
Like, it's like a kit.
Okay. Let me show you. Let me explain how I feel that this is planning to work. So, this is basically a Keurig.
Yes.
So the LG Homebrew is a device that is very similar in function of a Keurig, where you have K-cups or whatever they
pods.
Call it. Pods.
Pods. Yeah.
Pods.
Pods?
And it comes with the hops.
Pods.
It comes with all the stuff that's required to make a beer. You take these pods, you put it in the homebrew, you choose the type of beer that you want to make, you know, whether you
like IPA or whatever.
Exactly. Mm. Then you hit the button just like a Keurig, but rather than being an instant coffee that comes out of the other end. It takes about 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Yeah, man. Beer and its process, man. Yeah. It takes
ain't
a
nobody
while.
Got time for that.
And
for
it
man.
Makes about, what did they say? About like a couple gallons?
I think it's like 1 gallon.
Okay, so
something?
The Pico Brew I know does 5 liters.
5 liters. So, yeah.
So that's like 2.5, like the big bottles that you get from the, like, for like a soda.
Yeah.
Two of the big guys.
So, and then the beauty is like during this 2 weeks, you can... You can use their mobile app for the homebrew mobile app, and you could track the progress of your beer and see like what stage it's in and how it's doing and how much beer you've generated.
So halfway through, it's
and
like still
you know,
shit.
And
wait,
it'll let you
wait
know when
week.
It's ready. But that was one of those silent pieces of technology that I thought was going to get a huge kick, huge pop.
Okay, you're saying like you were expecting a big pop, but there's another one that's already to market.
I just don't think it's as easy as popping a little pot.
Oh, no, I think it's just as easy because...
Is it really?
Because I found myself inside a Bed Bath & Beyond this past weekend.
Of course.
Or a Home Depot. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have time. but, like, I was killing 5 minutes, and they had this Pico Brew thing. I was like, what the hell is this? It looks like a Keurig. It's actually within, like a foot of where the Keurigs are. And they have all of these huge name like craft brewers, like 21st Amendment.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to think who else. Like, they had a variety of notable craft brewers, and they have the kits, like, just below the machinery. Like, you can pick up whatever beer you want to make at that point, and it's right there at your fingertips, and you can make whatever beer you want. Again, 5 liters. It doesn't sound
two
like
of
a...
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes with two of them.
Yeah, so I mean, I hear what you're saying. Like, it should be a big deal, but like, there are companies that are already to market, and they're rolling with this stuff with like known brands.
Yeah,
yeah. There's no price yet on the LG though.
Yeah. Well, because they just did like a really quick mention that they're going to be ready for that this year.
Yeah.
But I was impressed. I was just like, you know, it sounded pretty easy.
It's only 5 styles of beer though. It's only they're coming out the LG one's only coming out with 5 styles. So it's the American IPA, you know, pale ale, sort of your staples, right? Your Belgian style, and then a pilsner. So, I mean, it looks interesting.
Well, if I
see the app right now, like I can, you can make your IPA. Yeah. So
if I can't make a Schwartz beer, I'm out.
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can make that.
Yeah.
No, not in this one.
John out.
So. I guess. Our resident expert Pod, do you have any closing thoughts on CES?
Success?
Failure? Success? Good? Was it? How did it live up to like previous years?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, this year it was a lot about 8K TVs for some reason, and I mean,
I'm just working on 1080p.
Yeah, I'm still on 1080p. Sheet. But there were some cool stuff like robots. Robots were a thing over there as well.
It's
like
a thing. Knowing your proclivities, I don't know, want to know about everything these robots do.
Nah, there was this one cool one. It was like the Japan's
Groove X. Oh, of course it's Japan.
Groove X Lovebot, where it's like
the Lovebot, of course.
Those things look adorable to me.
Adorable. I wasn't expecting that one.
This was a fucking mistake. That was what? I really didn't think
all they do is like move around and like move want around. Your affection and shit.
Oh,
that sounds cool to me.
What's the retail price on that?
I don't know. It's like,
oh, by the way, the price on that FlexPi,
yeah,
foldable phone.
Oh yeah, yeah.
8,000 yuan. That's the Japanese Chinese denomination. That translates to $1,300 American. So, yeah, put that under your hat. Or you save
for a prototype.
No. Yeah, for the prototype. Yeah, you can buy the prototype.
No, thanks.
It's consumer ready, but it pretty much is a prototype.
First gen of that? No, thanks.
Yeah, you know, just save that money and get yourself a Lovebot or whatever the hell. it's
Lovebot. Oh my god, it's stealing hearts at the CES.
It is. Yeah.
Oh my god. I mean, stole Pa's heart.
It stole my heart definitely, yo. Those things are pretty cute.
That's what it is.
Cute.
It looks like a Teletubby.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I thought this was gonna be. Like,
they have all
much
these like sensors on them.
I had a much more sinister vision.
I did too.
Head.
That's why I went incognito mode.
Yo, y'all need to get your mind out of the gutter now.
I'm just saying we were.
It looks like a Teletubby, and it's $5,000.
We based our assumptions on your reputation. So,
$5,500.
It could replace your dogs and stuff. You know.
Yeah. You know what? That's probably true. Much probably cheaper. In the long run.
Aww. Well, it looks cute, I guess.
Didn't they? Wasn't that a thing years ago with like the Sony, like the
no, oh yeah, the, was
yeah,
it like
that
a
dog robot
or something?
Yeah, whatever that thing is.
I don't know.
You hope that thing got the digital rabies or something and died off.
Have you guys ever been to the Microsoft store or walk by it at Tyson's and there's stupid robot that sits in the front? That
No. Haven't seen that thing.
Shit does nothing.
It's nothing.
they it's a gimmick, man. Like, so they put it in front of their store and everyone always stops when they see the robot. They're just like, oh my god, it's a robot.
And then you look into its eyes and it has the blue
eye. Come in and you start touching the damn thing and it does shit. It does nothing. Sorry, Microsoft.
Yeah,
you've upset
me.
I pressed every fucking feature on that robot and it
god,
does none
pissed.
Of it.
Dude, Jesus.
It says, press this to take a picture. It does not take a picture. Press this to play a game. It does not.
Well,
it does not do anything.
Well, maybe because everybody's been pushing the button before, so god, now it doesn't work. Maybe you got a bad one.
It's the same shit that sits there. You would think they like reset it every day, like do like a software update or something.
Microsoft
update.
Windows update. Yeah. it's probably got a blue screen.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe you just play DDR and just leave that thing alone.
DDR.
whatever the game is on that.
I wish I got into DDR.
No, you don't. Of course you do. God. Well, we talked about CES to death. I mean, are you guys any more enticed to go to CES? There are some other attractive features to going to the show every January, but I mean, do you guys feel compelled to go?
Well, I've been.
You've been.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, shit.
Yeah, I've
Please
been.
Please to explain your experience with the CES.
Yeah, I probably technically can't go into too much detail, but
okay, fair enough.
To the extent
on the peripheral and the surface level, what did you think of the experience of being in Vegas for the show?
It was overwhelming, you know.
Too much.
I think there's
la cocaína, la marijuana.
Well, you know, so the show itself is held in the conference center, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's actually semi off the strip. So the easiest way to get there is taking the monorail. It's huge, man. There's like
Ogdenville.
There's like a north wing, a south wing. There's like two levels. There's the entire place is filled with stuff.
Just stuff.
It's like, you know, so the probably the extent that I could talk about it is we were actually contracted to work on the CES app.
Nice.
And so we were there
communication.
Yeah, so we're there the initial year in 2014 doing research just to understand how their current app works and just to get the lay of the land of the conference itself. So they flew us out there. We got to walk around, and it's just too much to take in. So we were there for the entire week, And it was tiring, man. Like, so day one, I mean, just like everything that you hear and read about is super exciting. Everyone's just like geeked out, and you're just like hopping from hall to hall, checking out
Bimbly Bimbly from tree to tree.
You know, and then there's a lot of stuff on display that you can play with. You can take pictures, and there's some stuff that they won't let you touch that's behind.
The love bot.
Exactly. You're like, do not molest this little fucking robot, man. And so it was amazing, you know. And there's a lot of like celebrities that are there, and there's a lot of shows that are going on.
Yeah, so Seth MacFarlane.
So shows like us, like there's like podcasts that are invited there that are actually broadcasting live.
How
at
many
the show.
Podcasts are there? How do we get on this?
At the time, I you know, we had the gig in 2014, so at the time podcasting wasn't huge. But it was established still. So like you had podcasts being done there, and so you're just constantly walking around all day. You're picking up free swag, and you know some stations are selling stuff. So, but the thing why it's so tiring is the going from wing to wing is huge. But then there's also another floor. And then because of so many, there's so many vendors there that they also put some of the stuff on the strip at like the Venetian at
Okay, now I'm in
at their conference. Oh, so you can actually walk at the Venetian, go gamble, walk straight into the CES part of it, do the shows.
Yeah.
And then every day, roughly around 3 p.m. is when they start opening all the CES parties. So if you're
at 3 p.m.?
Yeah. So if you're
that seems smart.
If you're a CES attendee, they have different like areas where you can attend like the CES party. Like,
okay.
There's different themes and you have to sign up. It's free admission, yeah. But you have to sign up and then they usually get booked fast. So, you know, it becomes exclusive.
Was Skrilla there?
Yeah.
Skrillex?
There is like the night part. The Skrilla. Night parties is when they start getting like, you know, like. Big name DJs.
DJ Pauly D.
Yeah.
Oh, like, that's what's up. Oh, a Vegas resident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Ronnie. Yeah.
Which Ronnie?
Ronnie from Jersey Shore.
Okay.
Jersey
Shore, that Ronnie. Because the other Ronnie sometimes is there too.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, but you know, all in all, I think it's an interesting mix, especially at the beginning of the week is pure geek, and I feel like towards the end of the week it gets this weird mix of people because like the geeks starts leaving and you know,
wait,
actually,
is there something that follows the consumer electronics show?
I feel like back in the day the little porn convention follows the CES convention.
Wasn't it at the same time? AVN, dog. Yeah. AVN Awards.
Well, that's where our friend Pa's other expertise comes into play.
So if you attend, if you fly out to Vegas around like the first week of January, but fly in at the end of the week, you're going to get this weird crowd where you're going to get geeks and pervs.
And porn stars.
And porn stars all in the same place.
Yeah, the lot heavy hitters. A lot of loose-fitting hockey jerseys towards the end of consumer
and people like
show.
Pa.
Yeah, a lot of gray hats, if you know what I mean.
You know, the strippers love CES because that's where they make their bank at.
Of course they do.
Oh, because these nerds got money.
They're paying off mortgages in the span of 4 days. Like, it's just incredible.
Do you take Bitcoin?
You can stick that coin somewhere else, buddy. But that makes perfect sense. Wow. I didn't realize that dichotomy was actually taking place. So aside from the unusual mix of people, are you in a position now to say like you would go back?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. It was, you know, I think it was fun. I you know, as tiring as it is, like, you know,
Vegas is tiring.
I feel like if you want to experience CES, really go there for like Tuesday and Wednesday. That's like the two major days.
Yeah. That's prime time.
Outside of that, I think you can skip around and hop around. Cause I think we took it less serious. Like on Thursday and Friday, we were just like, we went to a couple vendors and after that we're just like, let's go get a drink.
Yeah, there's nothing but dioramas on Thursday. Yeah,
and then like, we go gamble a little bit, lose some money, and then you're just like, you know, oh, I want to buy that one gadget, so I'm gonna go bet and see if I can win money to buy that gadget, and then you lose, and then you're like,
I'm gonna buy that love bot. Come on, 13.
I wouldn't put it past this. You know what? We've been to I think seriously we're working right into Billy's expertise here, so we're transitioning from Pa to Billy.
Yeah.
like Vegas is right in your wheelhouse. Is that fair to say?
I love Vegas. It's my favorite place in the United States.
Oh my God. Like I keep trying to
the
like,
United States.
Well, what about the world? I want to know what the whole wide world is there.
It's unfortunately I can't travel outside the United States.
We'll just leave that where
yeah,
it
we'll
lies.
Leave it at that.
But that you know what? I've actually traveled like a pretty good amount like outside the country, and I still like circle back to Vegas. Like there's a part of me that is just ingrained and just like forever entwined with the city. Like I spent my 21st birthday there.
Oh yeah, that was epic.
It was epic and weird. It was me and Jack. And
that was it.
Francine
that
D.
That was it.
Wait. Not that trip. But I mean, like it still holds such a special place in my heart. And I think I've gone like 2 years running and actually with Billy here. I think it might be worth it to get the podcast out there. But I mean, Billy, what do you think is like the best time to go to Vegas? Like there are a number of occasions we've been for like in the summertime. We've gone for March Madness.
There's been to the AVNs.
I can neither confirm nor deny the Consumer Electronics Show. Like there are occasions to like pack up and head out to Vegas. But I mean, like for you personally, what do you think is the best time to go?
It's hard to say, man.
Does it just all run together?
I love Vegas
because you don't sleep.
when we went last year to the March Madness, yeah. That was awesome.
That was fun.
Yeah, we had a great time in Vegas.
Especially if you
Madness.
Forget your betting paper and just end up being the wet blanket the entire time.
Were you supposed to do like an 11-game parlay or something like that?
I did an 11-game parlay. I only made it to two, so my bad.
So bad. How much did you put on that? It was over before brunch.
But apparently John hit his 14 parlay.
Oh, 14. Yeah. Yes, 14.
And we had a great time
as
afterwards.
A result of that.
Yes.
Oh my God, you can't I can't describe how amazing it was to walk out of the Michael Jackson one stage show and find that I have hit my 4-game parlay and find this gray hat wearing son of a bitch back in the hotel room, like ready to like give me the biggest hug on the planet. She's like, "We're going to the Crazy Horse."
No, that was not the game plan. Our limo driver took us to the Crazy Horse.
Oh God!
When were we going somewhere else?
Pro tip: don't listen to anything.
Don't listen
to
your limo driver.
No,
right?
Never. If you want to go to a strip club in Las Vegas, Billy will tell you, the name brand ones are your.
Spirit Rhino or Sapphire.
Yes.
Those are the
go-tos. If they tell you that it's going to be too expensive, don't worry. You got friends with money. It's all good. Your friend will hit a 14 parlay and make it all worth your while. But yeah, well, I think that's a game plan worth exploring once more. I think, you know?
I completely agree.
Yeah, I knew Billy would agree. Jack, any chance we find you on the left coast in Las Vegas?
Yeah, how'd you like your last trip to Vegas?
When was your last trip to Vegas? Was it my bachelor party?
Yeah, it was your official bachelor party.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh,
you do?
Yeah, I heard stories.
I'm like, you were there?
Yeah.
The words travel throughout eternity.
I guess. Yeah, that was the last time, and that was during March Madness.
Yeah,
we got the last thing I remember.
Oh, we heard a little bit about it last show when John disappeared.
Yes, when John disappeared.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's neither here nor there.
It was a good mix.
Did you make money? Did you leave winning? I can't remember.
No, he lost out of the strip club. Come on, man.
I made money. I didn't
Mrs. Jack, lose. That's a lie. He never stepped foot into the strip club on that trip. Whether or not I was there to confirm or not is beyond me.
No, I didn't go.
Not once.
I made money.
Did you really?
Yeah, I didn't lose. I remember that. But yeah, the betting part, I wasn't so good. We were playing craps. So yeah. I remember that. Yeah, and you know, did pretty well there.
Can I just say that is the game of kings. Like that,
craps is the
best. I don't know why I don't play with you guys more often, because every time where I'm like, no, I don't get this game.
This game is
easy. And
I walk
away, all of a sudden you hear like, winner! Winner! There's tons of high fives, and everyone's like rowdy, and then the the table starts growing and
somebody's
like,
dick's on the table. Oh. Like, it's just insane. Like, that's what you're missing out on.
Like,
it's
freaking game gives you like total like just like the FOMO, man.
Yeah, it's the funnest game in the house.
It is.
I should
explain.
Play it.
So I should awesome. Explain to you. You made us a whole lot of money.
Yeah, man. You were so drunk to remember it, but you were rolling on. You were hot, man.
I really don't remember.
You didn't make any money. We made all the money.
I don't even know how that worked.
So thank you. I don't think you lost money.
You were so drunk, you didn't even realize you were winning.
I didn't even know I was playing.
Were you guys helping him with his bets?
He was incoherent.
Okay, very
good. He was beyond our coaching. Like, there was really no way to get him.
I remember we went to a breakfast with Bottomless Mimosas, and that was the last one.
And that was your end game.
End game.
Yes, you and Taylor Swift. Yes. That was it.
Did I meet her?
No.
No.
You woke up to begin your end game where you, I think you blacked out shortly after our crap game.
And it was only noon.
Yeah.
I remember that clearly.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. So it went like this. Make John and Pa a whole S load of money. Pa's parlay fails. Ice gets an old fashioned, doesn't drink it, falls asleep.
From a robot.
Oh, yeah, go
we
figure.
Went there.
Yes.
That was like one of my nice. Main things I wanted to do, and I wasn't even.
I have it on video if you want to see what you were trying to get. And you blacked out. Yeah. Nice. Then the lights turned off for good.
And we had to take you back to the hotel, and on our way back in the elevator, we got off, and these like college girls were like, yo, I want to be like that guy. They were pointing to you, man. That shit was hilarious.
Nice. Nice.
Like, no, you do not.
It was only noon.
Holy crap.
Jeez. The Vegas poster child.
It was, I remember, the only thing I remember was, it was the morning after I was out for several hours, and then I felt so refreshed that...
Several hours.
I told our buddy Phil, I was like, hey, man, like, I'm ready to
Phil?
Go. You want to do some Bottomless Mimosas with me? He's like, yeah, I'll do that.
So such then, a terrible so, ass
so,
idea.
So we walked the ship trying to find a place that has Bottomless Mimosas.
You could like run into one place that has Bottomless
Mimosas.
No.
Like, we ended up in Paris.
Meanwhile, Yelp will tell you exactly what you need to know.
Like, what are you talking about?
We're like, we found one. Like, sound the alarm. Let everyone know we're here.
You realize that's actually a filter on Yelp. It's like you can say, like, do I want open now or bottomless brunch? Like, it's right there, like dead center. But
that
by all means.
Been way easier.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we found one. And then I was just like, and they were so generous with the pours, man.
Of course they were.
It was like.
They want you to die.
It's like house vodka. it's not even like Smirnoff.
It's toilet champagne.
Yeah. Like, terrible.
Like, this is way fizzier than it needs to be.
I was like, ooh, this is great. So, I think we're about, like, several, like, maybe a bottle in before you guys showed up.
Oh, my.
Yeah. No wonder.
Yeah. And they can't cut us off. So, I was just so happy.
Can't or won't.
Yeah, they can't or won't. Yeah, there's a difference, man. There's literally a difference.
Oh.
Yeah, we're not doing that ever again.
No.
But otherwise, everything else besides what Ice just described, we're totally reliving. So, I think we can...
That was fun.
Maybe we'll pencil that in for 20. Maybe 20. Not 20.
No, this year.
Oh, you're gonna this find.
Year.
We're gonna move some things around for 2019. All right, we'll start consulting.
Well,
our
there's a
halves.
Chance we're gonna be doing that locally with all the legalized gambling. Maybe.
No, right? It's not gonna happen.
It's
as
not
soon
gonna
as
happen
think.
For
no.
this March Madness.
No, I think Maryland was behind the eight ball. Where
you
they,
slackers,
Maryland
man.
Sucks. DC has shot themselves in the foot. They originally had a fast track saying it was an emergency situation where they're going to put the award of the betting contract like maybe up for vote like this month, and they said, nah, we're not going to do that. So they're going to go through the regular legislative process, and it won't get done until the summer at the earliest. So I would hold off on any plans to gamble in the
so
immediate
what's
area.
The- Is there any place locally that we
yes.
can go?
Yes.
We're
for?
Going to West Virginia.
Is West Virginia, yeah. baby.
Woo! We can go
Sorry.
There?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
We should do that.
Yeah. We got to hit up some Hollywood casino, make some bets, and then hit up Vixens after that, yo.
You realize it didn't go well the last time we went to Hollywood casino together. Bad mojo going on there. But we'll find a way. If not locally... We maybe put some tentative plans together to venture westward.
Yep.
Jack, you have your assignment.
Okay. Noted.
Yeah.
Noted.
You got your work cut out for you.
I do. Yeah.
Well, Pa, thank you for joining us.
Thank you,
Billy,
sir.
Pa.
It was a pleasure to be here, guys. Dude, it was a great
time. You gotta come
back.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah. I had a great time smelling the remnants of your jewel.
J-U-U-L.
Oh, my God.
They're not a sponsor.
maybe after this. All right. Well, a good week, I think.
It was fun.
With the triumvirate back at full force. Maybe we'll have Billy
back. Plus one.
Yeah, plus one. Maybe we'll have Billy back next week.
We should.
Yeah. Otherwise, he might be back here filling in for Jack when he calls in for a sore bunion.
Be on standby.
Standby. All right, Billy, standby. Folks, appreciate you all tuning in again for another episode of the Bad Sunday Podcast. We'll check you all next week, hopefully at full strength.
Later.
Good deal.
Peace out.
Bye-bye.